to begin with a few introductory words about the practice. It's possible for there to be tranquility together with non-tranquility, the opposite of tranquility, whatever that is. It's possible to be agitated and to know it in a tranquil way. It's possible to be activated in some kind of way and to meet that with a peaceful presence. It's possible to be tense and agitated and to feel that all around it, beyond the edges of it, there is something which is still and quiet. It doesn't have to be either or, one or the other. A part of the body might be agitated. Another part of the body might be stable, calm, still. In all these ways that agitation can be together with non-agitation, to see that or recognize that maybe can support not being further activated by the activation, not get involved in trying to fix it or figure it out or make it go away or try to iron it out, but rather to hold it, to receive it with non-agitation. And one of the ways to do this is if it's possible to have the knowing of agitation be unagitated. That the knowing is calm. The knowing doesn't take in the agitation so that it's agitated knowing. The knowing simply knows. in the simplest way, in a peaceful, calm, settled way, here's agitation. And knowing that maybe has a beginning, duration, and an end, a discrete moment of knowing. A clear recognition, oh, and for the duration of that act of recognition, that recognition is non-agitated. And maybe there's some quality of knowing or seeing this way without intending it for it to be loving. There's something loving about simply knowing in a peaceful way. And then knowing agitation, maybe at the end of that, those moments of knowing, of recognition, as the knowing fades away, it can transition to feeling the agitation. Sensing in the body. Where feeling is maybe more intimate than knowing. Being in touch with agitation. Feeling the sensations that come along with being agitated. Not the thoughts and ideas that are agitating per se, but the sensations. Not the content, if there is any, of the thoughts and ideas, but the physical sensations that come along with the thinking. Knowing that then slides into feeling, sensing, and whereas sensing and sensations arise together, it's possible for the sensing to be quiet and peaceful, tranquil, even if the sensations are not. The sensing is, in a sense, sensing is how we meet, how we're there with the sensations. And maybe this idea that the sensing can be unagitated is a new idea for you. sensations and sensing arise together. And the sensing can be also agitated, but it can be unagitated. And if it's a new idea, maybe you can discover how this is. Knowing that sometimes can transition to feeling, sensing. Sensing that's peaceful. And from time to time, it might be helpful to quiet the agitation if it's possible to relax. And if the agitation and tension doesn't relax, maybe there's some way to quiet, relax the sensing of it. And if not the sensing of it, maybe the knowing of it. So relaxing into your body, taking a few moments to soften the face, a softening around the shoulders. Softening of the belly. And then a settling into the body, breathing. Being with the breathing in your way, maybe sensing the body breathe, the sensations of breathing, really feeling them carefully, maybe knowing a combination of both. being with the breathing, and sensing that slides into a brief knowing. Being with the breathing, knowing, recognizing the experience of breathing that slides into sensing and feeling. Is there anything you can relax or quiet so that your knowing, your sensing, your awareness can be less agitated? So that your awareness can be aware of what is agitated in an unagitated way. of the ways to be agitated is to be concerned with perfection, doing something just right. One of the ways to be tranquil is to be content with doing what you can, even if it's not perfect. It might well be good enough. And as the bell rings to end the sitting, maybe the sound of the bell, how is it to hear it, to know it, to feel it, in that part of your being which is calm and tranquil, that doesn't have to do the listening? Peacefully allowing it. So one of the things being highlighted here at the beginning of the retreat are the different attentional faculties we have, faculties for attention. And if these have never been so much distinguished for you as they are now, it might take a little while to get your bearings. But the more you know what's at play all the time, what's actually going on when you're aware, the more heightened awareness there can be, more fully you can be here for your experience. So, I just want to say some more about these things. So the way that I'm using the word awareness, which I see as being aware is kind of synonymous with being conscious. So my way of using this is that awareness is the working together, the sum total of all the different attentional faculties operating at any given time. Somehow we get a sense of an overall something in the harmonious working together of these different attentional faculties. So awareness is not a particular thing exactly, but it's the gestalt, it's the whole. I don't know if it's a little bit like a car that there's all these parts of the car, all these parts of the car that contribute to its moving, and all of them together, working harmoniously, creates the movement of the car. The movement of the car doesn't exist as its own thing. Exactly, it's not like a material set thing. It's movement. Take a flashlight at night or a candle at night and spin it around fast in a big circle. Circular movement, and the eye will see a circle of light, even though the light is in one place at a time. The mind constructs the sense of a circle. So this constructive activity of the mind, of all these different attentional faculties come together and when they're in harmony. And I liken it to the ocean here, the whole ocean. Sometimes that ocean is Pacific, you know, it's flat and peaceful and quiet, still. And then these different attentional faculties, some of them dominate at any given time. And so out of that flat ocean, there's a wave that's formed, an intensification of something, and that might be hearing, might be seeing, tasting, it might be knowing, the recognition of what something is, it might be sensing, it might also be with the mind's eye, observing, being witnessing something from the eve. And I'll talk more about that in a few days. But some people maybe are more visually oriented. So what stands out in that ocean of awareness, the way that the attentional faculty is in fact some kind of inner sense of maybe even being a witness of things, stepping back, just observing. So I've been emphasizing, though, the knowing, the recognition, and the feeling, the sensing. And in practice, at times we are choosing one over the other, highlighting it. At other times it finds you. You find yourself feeling something. There's a wonderful taste, and now you're in the sensing of the taste. You weren't planning on doing that, it just happened. There's a sound, and you weren't planning to hear a sound, but now you're in the hearing. And maybe it's just the sensing of hearing without anything more. Or maybe it's the recognition, car sound. And then now you're in, you know, it all kind of happens kind of sometimes in the automatic. And you can just kind of ride along and notice, oh, this is how it is. Or in order to be present with experience, you want to emphasize one or the other, like the knowing, and really enter into the knowing and choose to know and to know the knowing, the beginning of an act of recognition, the middle, the duration, and the end. Or feeling, sensing, to really sense the inhale, the beginning of it. How does that feel? How does that transition to the middle of the inhale, to the end of it? Really be there for the whole experience. One of the features of this sum total of awareness, I'll say something which I'm hoping you don't think about too much afterwards, is that contributes to it. It's part and parcel of it, kind of, in a gestalt, is time. And what we're doing in this practice is making time for time. Not making time for future time and past time, but making time for this moment, present time. And if you're busy thinking about things, you have maybe, you know, and you haven't made time for the time. Like making time for a friend. Make time for now. And making time for it is what contributes to the richness of awareness of now. And that. And as you make time for the present moment, for now, it too has a duration, as beginning, middle, and kind of end. Sometimes we have a sense of a timeless presence. But more often, I think that our connection to the present moment has a duration, because of how the mind picks things up and gets involved in thoughts, and the next thing comes. And maybe this present moment sometimes will feel too like it. Maybe you feel the beginning of it, but sometimes it just feels like it fades away rather than abrupt. Giving time for the present moment, a moment which is variable in length. How long is your moment? So this time is part of awareness. Without this giving time to time, allowing for the time of the present, Maybe there is kind of no conscious awareness. We're lost in thought, preoccupied, caught up in what we're doing, more than here with the experience. So this is the different, some of the different faculties that you have that are at play. And maybe gives you a little bit more, maybe your mind, and maybe not you, your mind a little more interest in being here for it all, seeing the landscape of it all, how it works. So then, some announcements. So we have a set of practice discussion today. The first 2 days I saw kind of everyone over 2 days. And now it'd probably be, today it's about a third of you. And I don't know how this is going to unfold over time here. And maybe sometimes I'll do half the group each day and sometimes it's a third. But right now, today it's a third. And the two Rachels, I switched your times with each other because one of you is a bell ringer. So it's kind of been marked on the sheet in case you haven't seen it. So it's very nice to see faces. And it's very nice to see faces with masks on. I appreciate them very much both. So it is optional and maybe a little different than what I said at the beginning, but we'll now have the whole building being optional whether you wear a mask or not. These masks are protective, so if you have any concern, and everyone has different reasons to be protective, and you might want to wear it sometimes, not other times, something, I don't know, whatever you want to do. But we ask that you continue with the COVID protocol that I emphasized at the beginning, and that is, please let the managers know if you have the slightest symptoms of a scratchy throat or starting to unusual kind of runny nose or, you know, anything that might be a symptom, even if you are convinced it's just an allergy. We want to test people right away as soon as there's something coming up. We have these wonderful tests that we can do, very sensitive. And each passing hour, each passing day, I think we're more and more safe, but who knows? Who knows how this works? So if we could all, I think we're really protected if you let us know right away, because chances are if it's COVID, you're not going to be contagious with the first symptoms. Chances are. So we ask for that. So I hope you enjoy your day and all the time that you have here, the time that's coterminous with awareness. Thank you.